Do you need a miracle? Because I want to speak on miracles today. I believe in them because I have witnessed them. I have seen them. And I know that there will come an hour when I'll need more of them. I'm not in charge of miracles. I'm not the one that creates miracles, nor are you. I want to ask you this question. Have any of you ever seen a miracle? Now, I'm not talking about someone said they had a headache and that headache went away, and I'm not classifying that as not a miracle, but by definition, a miracle is an event or an effect in the physical world deviating from the known laws of nature or transcending our knowledge of these laws. A miracle is an extraordinary event, an anomalous or abnormal event brought about by superhuman agency. And I want to say again, with that understanding, I believe God still does miracles. I believe I've witnessed miracles. I do not believe it's an everyday occurrence by any means. But I believe with all of my heart that there are people listening, people in this room today, that you are in need of miracles. And because possibly you've not received one yet, maybe because you've never seen one yet, you somehow have fallen into condemnation, or worse, into losing faith that they are real. I want to read while you're standing out of Judges chapter 6, verse 12 through 14, an amazing verse of Scripture. Judges chapter 6, verse 12 through 14. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. Now remember, Gideon's a mighty warrior. There is a difference between a soldier and a warrior. A soldier will fight and surrender. A warrior never surrenders. Help us to be warriors of the faith. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, you mighty man of valor." And Gideon said unto him, "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us?" Can you relate to that? You know, we say when the pastor asks you how many believe God's with you and hands go up and people say things, but in the quiet of a moment in the back of our mind, we say, well, if God's really with us, then why have all these things befallen us? There's surely a situation in your life that's made you think like that. And he goes on and he says, and if the Lord's with us, then why has all this befallen us, and where be all his miracles which our father told us about? Didn't the Lord bring you out of Egypt? But now the Lord's forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looks upon Gideon and says, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee?" And I want to bring my opinion on this scripture, and I'm basing this opinion on 32 years of experience. So what I'm about to say, please hear the whole thought process before you judge it too harshly. What God just told Gideon is, Gideon said, "Where are the miracles?" And God said, "It's in your might." Gideon said, "Where are the miracles? And if you're with us, why have all these things befallen us?" And he's praying. I mean, he's actually talking to God. God's speaking to him. And God turns around and God answers the question, "Where's the miracles?" God answers the question, "Where's the might? Why am I in this predicament?" And God turns around and says, "I told you to save Israel. Go in the power of your might." We don't understand that our works are what create miracles. No, we can't create them ourselves. But we set it up to where God cannot refuse them. You can be seated. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22... there are three words that are used to express miracles in the Bible: power, wonders, and signs. In Acts 2 and 22, he says, "You men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the middle of you, as you yourselves also know." When you look at the life of Christ, his life was filled with something. And I'm about to use a very dirty word. It is a four-letter word, and many of you have heard it many times, so please don't be exasperated by what I'm about to say. The four-letter word that Christ walked in is something that churches have made totally obsolete and believe it has become almost a form of profanity, and it is called work. And what God is simply saying is, Gideon, if you'll get into the works of my obedience and walk in what I've asked you to do, then that speaks to me of your faith, and you'll see what I said I will do be done. Works is so silly in the hour of religion we live in that many churches actually will teach against water baptism because, you know, that's a work. Works don't save you. Faith saves you. And we get to the place to where we've raised generations of churchgoers that somehow think to do anything for God would take away from our faith when it's just absolutely the opposite. We have almost raised up pulpiters who stand behind the desks of God and teach us, just have faith, that's the only thing that will save you. But we never go on to express what faith is. I want to bring to you today that the purpose and the passion of my message is first to bring peace to those of you that are in need of a miracle. God can. And not only can He, but He's willing. I also want to say that He still does miracles. And I also want to bring and break all condemnation to any that have not received a miracle. And a personal miracle really is not needed to your life to be saved or to prove that God loves you. We somehow have gotten miracles misguided, just like we have gotten works misguided. And the thing that I found very interesting about miracles is the fact that even though many of you raised your hands and said you've seen miracles, what I have observed through 32 years perfectly aligns with Scripture. And the question I want to ask is this: do miracles make men believe? Do miracles make people believe? Because as you answer that, I want to go to John chapter 12, verse 37, and look at what Jesus said. But though He had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on Him. One of the things you'll find out is people that have no faith will never give God the credit for anything that takes place. Pharaoh saw the plagues come, and yet he himself did not escape because he had no faith in all the mighty miracles. Miracles like were never seen or since seen in the history of our world that God did as Moses was trying to bring the children of Israel out of bondage. And not only can you look at Pharaoh, but you can begin to look at other players in the Bible, and you will understand that just as Jesus said, He said, even though He'd done many mighty works there, no one believed on Him. My opinion is, miracles are given by God for two reasons. Number one, to help everyone have faith in God. But number two, to let people understand not everyone will believe even when they see a miracle of God, because faith is a personal choice. In Acts chapter 3, I want to read verses 1 through 8. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, who they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And he was laid there because he wanted to ask alms of they that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave unto them, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but as I have, I give to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with him into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. That is the best explanation that aligns with my experience in seeing a miracle come about. Number one, the explanation that I'm speaking of is this story I just read to you in the Bible. This lame man, there was no welfare in the day of Christ. He was right where he was supposed to be. As you entered to bring your tithe, as you entered to give your praise, as you entered to give your praise to God, you would walk past those in society that were unable to take care of themselves. And therefore, they were there expecting to receive alms. Everyone would give a bit. Everyone do a little bit. It ended up taking care of those that could not work. But the thing that really gets me about this is I want you to understand, Peter and John, as they're on their way to the temple, they're not looking around believing God's going to do a miracle. Peter and John aren't out there with some tongue-talking experience and Holy Ghost rolling in the dust and doing everything they can to feel the goosebumps on their backs and the sweat on their brow because they are mustering up what we think is faith. They were expressing perfect faith because what they were doing was that dirty word, and that dirty word is works. They were going to the temple at the hour of prayer. And I want to share with you that some of the greatest miracles that I've seen, and I've seen some pretty awesome miracles, they didn't happen unless I was about the work of God. And it's funny, the more works that I do for Him, the greater miracles that I see of Him. You're not going to see miracles if you only work on what you think is faith in America. Faith in America has become an emotional thing. Faith is considered someone that can divvy up or conjure within themselves swelling words or actions or hand signs and bring you under the charisma of their personality to make you somehow believe, I am a great person of faith. That's got nothing at all to do with faith. As soon as we learn that faith and feeling do not align, I show greater faith when I don't feel like working for God, and I still do that I know is right, than Jerry when I feel like it and do it. And I want to make this statement, and I'm a born-again believer. I am a new covenant, one God, apostolic, born again, baptized into my Messiah Jesus, tongue-talking, miracle-believing, born-again Christian. There, I said that. But I want to make a statement to the American church. I love you. God loves you. But the Jew is still a nation today without the Holy Spirit and the work of the power of the Holy Ghost in their lives because of one thing. They read their word and they obey it. And that has become a very foreign concept to most churchgoers today. We somehow have majored on feeling and cast the baby out with the bathwater when it comes to recognizing that faith is not faith at all if it has no works. And we somehow feel like we come to the house of God, and if we're not careful, if it doesn't reach a certain emotional pitch or emotional fervor and the music's not just right, then we get a sour attitude because our feelings aren't where we really came to get them today. And our feelings can get in the way just like other things can get in the way. Indifference can get in the way. And we get locked into looking for a feeling to recognize faith. And I'm here to tell you that in the middle of my life, some of the greatest miracles I ever saw, I had no idea nor any feeling what was about to come about. Because just like Peter and John, in the middle of my working for God, it's like all of a sudden the heaven opens. I don't know how to say this. You know how you download something in a computer? All of a sudden it's a download and God says, put your hand on this or do this. You didn't get up looking for it. You didn't wake up thinking about it. And you wonder, wow. And it's not that you all of a sudden heard roaring thunder and saw blue lightning and gray smoke. But suddenly it was just that still small voice that said, do this. And usually the people He says, do this, are the people that are already doing something to. I'm bringing you that understanding today because I love you and God loves you, and I'm trying to give you correct teaching so your life will add up to what God wants it to be. If you are still someone that thinks faith is an emotion you're trying to work on by the power of positive thinking, you're never going to get there. Faith can only be fueled by the Word of God. And God knows who has what in their cranium. God knows what you're doing for Him, and God knows who can be trusted, and God is looking for servants. He's looking for people that will do His will, and in the middle of their walking in obedience, He has every right under the authority, because you're walking in a kingdom principle, now to proclaim the will of the King through you. My God, that's good teaching, whether you like it or not. I want us to understand today that we need to enjoy our journey, but we've got to add works to our faith. Amen. If you don't have works, if all you're doing is working for the world And you're asking God, bless it, Lord, bless it. You're just pimping God. You're not a servant of God. You're a sucker off of God. You're someone that's just trying to suck out of Him things for your own selfish need. And you're not going to see miracles. You're not going to see blessings. And if your business does succeed, it'll be because you're working your fingers to the bone. You're using every worldly endeavor, putting the name of Jesus on it. But you're not using the principles of God. When you seek Him first, and I've proven this so many times, when you seek Him first, I can prove time and time again, it does not matter numbers. God doesn't use numbers to supply my needs. If I work on my righteousness, He has ways He can supply like you wouldn't believe. If every one of us will understand that this thing that we've made a dirty word called works, and we will begin to add to them. Let me express what I was trying to say earlier. When you look at the wisest people, the most inventive in the face of the earth, they are not the Spirit-filled church. I'm just speaking facts. If it makes you angry, I apologize, but you can look it up. The wisest people in the earth are that group that 2,000 years ago, Jesus was one of them. They were called Jews. And they raised up kids knowing the Word by the time they were 13. And they walked in the character and the principle. And you try to talk to them about faith. The word faith is used 245 times in the Bible, Jared, but you can't find it in the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament it was called heard and obeyed. And we translate that in the New as faith. Emunah. And we have come to a place to where we have come against works, and yet we see the miracle of what people that will just obey the Word could pull off. How much more, this is where I'm headed with this, how much more in this last hour before the return of the Messiah does God want to raise up Spirit-filled people that finally get the balance? It's the sword of the Spirit. It's not just all emotions, but it's also the power of the Word. And God is bringing a huge number back to loving the Word and get out of religion. It's not about what you feel. It's not about your opinion. It's about what the Word says and walking in obedience to the Word. And not everybody's going to do it, but those that walk in are going to see more miracles than anyone else. And I'm here to share with you, that's exactly what I've seen in 32 years. The man at the gate that got healed was there because the Word of the Lord asked that to be done. That was where the rabbis told him, you've got to come to the gate. God's people will take care of you as they walk through the gate. To lay at the gate means you have already been approved by the church leaders. That you weren't some shyster. You really had a need. Everything you see in these miracles that are done by these apostles will align perfectly with the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, I like this story, and I like it a lot. Because when we say, where are miracles? We somehow... If we're not careful, the thing I loved about the Word of God is it lets me realize I have a chance to be saved.
Amen.
If David could commit adultery and murder and be saved, maybe there's hope for you, huh?
Amen.
But we also have this misplaced confidence that when God somehow gave us these sermons about these great patriarchs of faith, and you've been here to hear my sermons, Abraham was a liar. Oh, that's my sister. There's never been a perfect person. And if we're not careful, let me tell you what happens to us. Because we've not seen miracles, but we're working on our faith. Ooh, I'm praying. Ooh, I'm this. Well, work. Show up, sweep the sidewalk. Mow the grass. Go knock on a door. Invite somebody. You'll just be amazed. He said, go ye. Just do something. Just find something you want to do in the name of the Lord and you'll start seeing signs, wonders, and miracles. But somehow we get this idea that, oh, those apostles, if they were here, everything would be all right. Those were great men of power. Those men didn't have any power except what God displayed through them.
Amen.
And the reason they were great men, they were Jewish men that understood obedience to the Word. They didn't even have a New Testament.
That's right.
They were walking in the Word.
Amen.
And God blessed them. Amen. And blessed them. And blessed them because they were being obedient to works.
Amen.
I'm not trying to take away saved by faith. Everyone understands that. You've got to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible. Please, God. But do you know what faith is? Or has some preacher told you what it meant? Or has your favorite religion taught you? Has it made works a dirty word? Because if it has, I doubt you're someone that's seen a lot of miracles unless they happen to other people. I like this scripture right here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Now here is Paul writing his student. I love this. You know, Paul, whose handkerchiefs on his body would heal people. Paul, whose shadow God used to heal people. He says, hey, Timothy, my coat, I left it at Troas with Carpus. When you come, could you bring it with you? And also, I forgot my books. Could you bring the books I forgot? But especially those parchments. And by the way, Timothy, Alexander the coppersmith, he did me a lot of evil, and I pray the Lord record him according to his work. Well, let's see. We're sounding pretty human so far, aren't we? Let's see. He forgot things, and he was ready to reward somebody like, oh, brother, you just need to pray for them. Reward good with evil. No, I mean, reward evil with good. Well, Paul wasn't having a real good day. He's already hacked. He forgot his book. He forgot his coat. And now he's like, by the way, that sucker that's giving me all the trouble, I hope God rewards him. Now watch. Of whom we be aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. And at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Stop right there. My God. Paul came in town, they had mighty revival. You didn't read that, did you, Don? He just said, I preached my guts out and nobody didn't stand and listen to me. I'm just telling you, it's monkey see, monkey do in this country. We get a big enough line, people will fall in and won't even know where it's going. And we look at the apostles and we look at Christ, they didn't draw great crowds. The miracle worker of the world drew about 500 at his crucifixion. And in the upper room, 25% of them still hung around. We don't understand that if you're looking anywhere other than Him and His Word, you're already in deception. Can I finish this story? Because I love this. It makes me realize I haven't missed the mark because it's not my power. I have been given one thing. And let me tell you, Roddy, when I step behind this desk, the one thing I've been given is to make sure I bring you the Word. And if I'm bringing you the Word and the correct concept of God, then there's a reward of the righteous laid up for me. I love the Word. I'm hungry for the Word. I'm going to teach the Word. And who it draws me to, it draws me to. And who it separates me from, it separates me from. It's not about numbers. It's not about money. It's not about wisdom. It's not about power. It's not about anything other than being obedient to God. Let's go on. Now watch what he ends this story with. He says, so when I first preached, no one listened. Verse 17. Notwithstanding, though, the Lord stood with me and He strengthened me. How many of us would quit? Well, I might as well quit. You know, there's not a lot of people. You were a quitter to begin with. You didn't show up as a warrior. You showed up as a paid soldier. You showed up with conditions. And so the condition of your heart is finally being shown to you. You don't know your heart. He knows your heart. But Paul was a warrior. Paul was an apostle. Paul was someone that would get up from under a rock pile and he'd go start preaching again. Because Paul understood something every one of us listening to this sermon needs to catch and understand. It's not about numbers. It's not about anything other than me doing what God said for me to do. And if I will take a stand for righteousness, one righteous man can't be destroyed by the entire world. Death can't beat me. Hell can't beat me. The grave can't. I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God. But if you're looking at the world, and you're looking for the reward of the world, and you're looking at the things of the world, you've already put on the garb of a soldier. You become someone that's just there for the paycheck, someone there for a little glory. But when you finally get surrounded, you'll find yourself saying, I surrender. But a warrior says, I'm going to fight a good fight unto death. I have kept the faith. There's nothing that's going to separate me from the love of God. It doesn't matter who likes it, who doesn't like it. It's the Word of God. Let the Word of God be true and every man a lie. So the Lord strengthened me that me, the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. And He'll preserve me into His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Verse 19. Salute Prissa and Aquila and the household of Onesimorus. But Trophimus have I left at Milenum. He was sick. Well, why didn't you pray for him, Paul? We did. Several times. He just stayed sick. Well, how can that be? I don't know. I got a thorn in my flesh. You see, we've got a wrong idea. And the enemy... I got to calm down. I'm trying to get something through to us. Do you know my goal is not to hurt you at all? I know that my way seems harsh, but if you know my heart, I'm trying to really give you something that'll make you bulletproof. Oh, I didn't say it'll keep you from being shot at. I didn't say it'll keep you out of the war. But it'll make you bulletproof. Because when you understand how much God's for you, but there's certain concepts that you have to begin to place in your life before the reality of His wisdom and miracles can show up. And He cannot put those on you when you are not going the right way.
That's right.
It's time to do an about face. It's time to fast the Day of Atonement. It's time to set aside some time. It's time to join the radicals that say, if that's what the Word of God says, I don't care what the church does. I don't care what the world does. Oh, that's a new concept, isn't it? Well, it's just faith. Brother, I just think all that stuff, that Jewish stuff, it just that's not Jewish stuff. They're called the Feasts of the Lord. The Feast, you got that in your cranium? They're not the Jewish feasts. They're called the Feasts of the Lord. They are to endure forever. When you get to the other side and when the world to come, you will be required to be obedient to. I'm not trying to make it a law because God knows we don't want any works, much less law. We want to feel it. So Paul's all, you know, I love it. He's so human. Did you catch what he just did? He said, Curtis, by the way, I'm sorry I didn't get that flyer out about us sending stuff to the soldiers and all that. He said, Curtis, he says, first off, I'm writing you a letter and I want to talk about what's really important. Don't forget my coat and my books I left. Now I can be spiritual for a minute. By the way, that sucker that caused me a hard time, I'm praying God do something to him like he did to me. This is the great apostle. Come on, let's get out of our little church thinking and let's understand they're no different than you and I except they would obey what God told them. There's no difference. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. You say, I want to be a great man of God, then dedicate. Yeah. Dedicate to doing some work for God. Yeah. Get out the Word and do something no one else is doing because you see it in the Word. Quit trying to find a way around everything so you can justify your spiritual laziness and turn into an emotional high.
Well, I'm saved because Santa Claus comes on December 25th. Hi, ha, ha, ho. I believe that and it's so.
I'm having a ball. Y'all paying me to do this to you. You're the crazy ones, not me. You ready? He says, he closes it. Now, he's real spiritual with this closing because you know what the closing is where you bring it to the umph. He says, by the way, Timothy, verse 21. Do thy diligence to come before winter, because it's cold without a coat. Now, I said all that to say this. We're dealing with human beings then that are no more righteous than you are. And these men that got cold like you got, that get angry like you get, that forget things like you forget, they understood one thing. My only thing and my only objective is not to question the captain of the host, but obey the captain of the host. And folks, in America, we were built on rebellion. We are rebellious, stiff-necked people. I love America. It's no place like it. I'm an American. Praise God. Fool me once. Well, shame on who I don't remember. But I want you to know, I love our presidents that have been in office in the past. And I'm not going to lie. But we've got to shake off
this brainwashing that's come to us through the entertainment of the finest voices and the greatest orators that have convinced us that somehow just sending money or saying a prayer or touching a TV screen or a grief. Am I just nuts? Am I lost? Am I the only one? And we wonder why we're not. You know, I'm going to tell you why. We are not walking in obedience to the Word of God.
Amen.
Well, Pastor, you want us to do all that? I'm not even talking about Jewish. Oh, I'm going to unload now. How many are ready for me to unload?
Yes.
How about both barrels? We're not even walking in forgiveness. We're not even walking in character and righteousness and able to tell the truth. We're not even walking in giving tithe. We're not even walking in witnessing, much less walking in the 613 instructions of the Word of God. And we wonder why we have to go to Benny and get blown on so somebody might act like they got healed.
That's good, Pastor.
I've seen miracles. Lots of them. And I'm not going to share them right now because I'm teaching the world. It ain't about me. But every time I've seen one, it's been when I'm working and walking as a servant for Him.
Now you think about it, Gary. You've seen miracles. You know when it'll be? I'll tell you when it'll be. I'm going to prove my point. You see, it doesn't matter which side you are on, whether you are the instrument used of faith to bring the miracle or the one that's in need of a miracle. One of them has to be in alignment with words. Can I prove that to you?
Yes.
Let's look at James chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Is there any sick among you? Well, don't do anything because that would be a work. Just have faith. Can I tell you that usually by the time I find out somebody's sick, it's because they're in the hospital? Now, this isn't a rebuke. I don't want to rebuke any. I love y'all. But usually, and then I may not find out. And you know what that speaks to me? That speaks to me. I haven't brought forth enough understanding of the Word of God that we've got a group of elders that can show up and God says they can't do anything. They keep forgetting their coats. They're mad at those people that treat them a certain way. And they're also upset because last time they witnessed they didn't get a big hoorah. They're just like Paul. But let me tell you what I know about these people. If they'll just take a step in obedience and somebody will pick up the phone and call and then a couple of guys or three or four men and women will get in there with one little Honda Accord, one mind, one accord, and they'll begin to make the journey. You know what God will do?
That's right.
Because you couldn't do anything whether you belched blue gas on the way, sung 14 hymns, got KSBJ rocking out of all four speakers. That ain't going to make God any more powerful. What's going to show the world that He's God is you got your hiney in the Toyota and you headed out to be obedient to the Word of God, and they called and they were obedient to the Word, and where two or three agree as to being obedient to the will of God. There's no magic in miracles. They heard and obeyed. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Hebrews 11 and 6. For without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe He is. And He is a rewarder of they that diligently serve Him. Let me just say this. What faith is not is positive thinking. What faith is not is a feeling of hype and high emotion. Faith is not receiving a miracle from God. Faith is being obedient to the Word of God. In Mark chapter 9, verse 28 and 29,
His disciples who were sent out with exousia. They were sent out with authority of the Holy Spirit. They had not yet received the miracle of the power of the Holy Ghost, but the authority of the Holy Ghost. And they had tried to cast out a certain thing out of a certain person, but they were unsuccessful. And when Jesus had come into the house, his disciples said to him privately, "Why couldn't we cast him out?" Jesus just, my rendition, smiles and looks at him and says, "Oh, I get it. Y'all were trying to use that feeling stuff, weren't you? Y'all were trying that Shonda! Ride a Honda, buy a Yamaha, sell a Hakimaki." I'm not being anti-religious. I'm just, you know, I can only speak in tongues. The Spirit of God gave utterance. I was faking it there for those of you who didn't know. But I want you to understand that's what we did. You know, we don't believe that anyone has the great power of God that can't put on a good show. It's healing crusade. Jesus says, "Boys, I need to explain something to you. I did give you some authority, but there's some things like this. It's going to take you walking in works. And when you walk in the works I've asked you to work," he said, "this kind comes out only by prayer and by fasting. What faith is not, it's my positive thinking. What faith is my obedient actions. What faith is not is my feeling of high and high emotions. But what faith is my dependability and my discipline. My faith is not receiving, but it's the giving of oneself and one's substance." James chapter 2, verse 14. "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man says he has faith and he doesn't have works?" There's that dirty word again. "Can faith save him?" I wish I knew how to quit. Glenn, I don't know how to quit. No, I'm being honest with you. Because I've had a lot of times I'd like to quit. Like, where's the retirement plan? Where's the uneasy street? Go ahead. Go try to quit on God if you've ever been spirit-filled. Go try to quit on God if you've ever flooded your mind with word after word after word after word. Because you're going to find out it ain't you that's kept you in the race all this time anyway.
That's right. That's right.
You're going to find out that all those things you call words, no. That was spiritual exercise to make you strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And you're going to find out when you lay down, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Because that miracle of relationship, of walking in obedience, makes you get back up. You forget why it is you wanted to quit. And suddenly you get hungry again for that role of the Word. And you begin to feed your mind. And all of a sudden you're up and you say, "No weapon formed, greater is He. I can do all things. I mean, nothing can stop us. We are invincible."
Yes, glory. Amen.
Gideon, what do you mean? Where are the miracles? Gideon, what do you mean? Is the Lord with you? I'm telling you, I told you, you're more than a conqueror, Gideon. I told you, you're victorious. Now go in the power of your might.
Yes. Amen.
Well, I just don't feel like it. What's that got to do with it?
That's right.
How many of y'all are in the military? Just raise your hand. Reuben? What time did they get you up every morning?
4 a.m.?
But let me guess. A couple of mornings they came in and you laid back and you rolled over and you took the guy the gun and said, "Sarge, wake me at 6. I don't feel like it." That's the American church. Now, some of y'all, I'm not saying the whole church. Please understand me. And I love the American church. I'm just slapping it a little bit. And if it fits, you wear it. You with me out there? No, you don't look at the gunny sergeant at 4 and say, "Hey, come back later, Sarge. You and the boys go on. I think I'll sleep in about 6:30.
Well, you know, we'd have been in church, but Susie got the flu and took seven of us, four of those. Four boys and the daughter, me. We had to stay there to make sure she had enough Kleenex. We look for every reason we can in the little small things. It's the little boxes that spoil the vine. And he who is faithful in the least.
Amen. Amen. Right.
Now.
Kim, 32 years ago, we made a decision in my house. When the church is open, we'll be there. You know what that did for us? We're still married. You know what that did for us? We still got peace, love, and joy. You know what that did for us? I got kids and grandkids in church. Are y'all saints? No, we're little heathen devils that are saved by grace and faith, just like you, but we're here. Are you super holy and super righteous? God, no. There's just one that's holy and one righteous. We didn't bring you in here to tell you about us. We hope to tell you about the one that made us that way, the one we have faith in. But the point is, we're here, and our lives are still working. And my little grandkids and my sons that grew up to leave home, Dad, we're leaving home, and we're 18, they now live on the Cures compound. All 12 of us live within rock-throwing distance from each other, and we don't know how to get rid of them. We have to go out of town just to be alone. This thing works.
Amen.
Not only does it work in your household, but it'll work on the money end of it. It'll work on the provision end. It'll work on every area and every aspect of your life. You just make one thing straight. We're going to the house of God. Can I tell you something? Your kids ain't going to grow up to be professional football and basketball players. I hate to disappoint you right now. I hate to tell you, your boys aren't going to be the next. Who was Gavin? Who was that? No, it wasn't you. It was my other grandson. He was asking me, Manning, is there some famous guy out there? Some guy got a big football contract. You're dying to tell me. Peyton Manning, is that him? I don't know. Why? Yeah, it's your son told me that. Grandpa, what do you think about what? I'm like, is that like a light bulb? And you know, I'm not, you know. It just, where does that fit in life?
Right.
Where's that got any importance in anything going on? And if you've taught your kids, that's the utmost of importance. And the way you teach them, that's when you put that before you put, I've done with the preaching. Let's get back to what makes us feel good. Forget I said anything. Strike that from the record. Strike that from the record. Because when we were growing up, we still had some warriors. And 30 years ago, when all the coaches got together and said, we're having stuff on Wednesday night, all of us church idiots got together, and we said, well, that's fine, but we won't be here. And they decided, you know what, we won't have practice on Wednesday night. I think that's a warrior. I think somebody that makes a stand for righteousness. I think if you don't suck it up and take a stand for what the Bible says. And I'm not trying to say it says you're going to hell if you don't come to church on Wednesday night. I didn't mean it like that. I'm just giving an example of how far we've fallen. To feeling and forgetting what the Word says. I got to bring this to a close. Musicians, if you'd come. James chapter 2, we might as well close it with this. He said, you know, if a man has faith, and he says he has faith and he has not works, can faith save him? That's a pretty big question, Suzanne, to be in your Bible. Oh, you don't have any works, but your faith can save you? This is the half-brother of Jesus writing this, by the way. And he goes on, he says, verse 17, even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. A man can say, oh, I've got faith and I have works. Well, show me thy faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Now, he goes on in verse 21. Wasn't Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac? Seeing how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. You see, everything we see in Hebrews chapter 11, when we see the patriarchs of faith, we're going to see they were Old Testament people. And guess what? They were only called great in faith because they had mighty works. Would you stand with me in this house? I think we got it. I need a miracle, Pastor. Show me your works. My marriage needs a miracle. This kind goeth out except by prayer and fasting. Show me your works. I need another job. I need another this. I need another that. Show me your works. Real something. Noah, I'm sending a flood. But you have found righteousness before me, and by my grace you are saved. And Noah said, I feel that. I got that, baby. He said, no, you didn't get it. Because if you really believe you got it, you'll build an ark.
Right.
And it's going to be a lifetime work. You will never find in your Bible where faith is anything other than works. And I want to close with this statement. Anyone got anything out of this?
Amen. Yes.
In Luke chapter 17. I pray that everyone listening can feel what we're feeling in this room right now. It is a tangible presence of hope. God has dispatched ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. And they stand in attendance because His Word has been spoken, the unadulterated Word of God. And so the apostles said unto the Lord, Luke chapter 17, would you please increase our faith? And the Lord said, verse 7, you want me to increase your faith? If you want more faith, just lift your hand in this room right now. Just lift your hand in this room right now, because I'm going to give you the answer that God gave me. I found it in His Word. If you want more faith, Jesus says, which of you has a servant that's plowing or feeding cattle? And when this servant says unto you by and by, when he comes in from the field, go and sit down to meat. And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I think not. Increase our faith, Lord. So likewise, when you shall have done all the things that are commanded you, saying, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. I just simply pose a question to myself and everyone else listening. Lift up your works to God and recognize that's the amount of faith that you have. And this isn't to condemn, and this is not to nullify faith in the blood of Calvary. But the last time I truly checked the other side of the cross, the other side of the cross was that after He paid for the price of my sin, I was a born-again believer. I became a soldier in the army of God. And I became a debtor who I was not my own, but He paid a price for me. And I became a disciple, which means I came under the discipline of Christ. And what all those things put together say is this: I no longer belong to myself, and I no longer do my will, but Thy will. And I am called to do works. And if I try to fall into this silly little, it's all between my ears, and I make a confession, and that's all I need to do, you may be rudely awakened at that last trump.